Welcome to Homebuilder Happy Hour. This is Kelly.
And Ryan.
And we're serving up the latest trends in the home building industry to help you navigate this competitive market.
So go ahead and pour yourself a drink, relax, and enjoy the happiest hour of the day with us.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, everybody. This is Kelly. Welcome to this week's episode of Homebuilder Happy Hour. Ryan is here, and he actually gave this week's presentation to our staff. But we wanted to give a little intro. Like, how did we handle this week's episode?
This episode was basically our staff lunch and learn, which we do once a month about a new topic and, you know, maybe how it relates to our business and the new home builder business or the home builder business. So this week or this month was about the metaverse and, you know, some of the upcoming things that, you know, we see happening and, you know, where we're going to go in the future with home building and the metaverse.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting because we had brought up the metaverse on a different staff call. And it was pretty funny because some of the faces of some of the people on our staff was like, I cannot, literally cannot take this information in. This is too much for me. I don't want the metaverse. I'm not ready. And it made me think, you know what? We need to do a full lunch and learn. We need to do a deep dive, which Ryan has to be in charge of this because he's already been deep diving. And please put together an hour, you know, presentation for the whole staff where we get into it, which you did. And it was very fun. You did a great job.
Yeah, I had a fun, had a good time with it. And, you know, definitely there's some parallels with the metaverse and home building. So, you know, listen along.
Yeah. I just want to say for those of you listening, this was actually like a presentation Ryan did with slides and just showing us in some different metaverses that currently exist. So if you're listening and sometimes it's you don't know what we're talking about because we're referring to something that he's showing us, we did post this episode with all its visual beauty on our YouTube channel. And so you can find that link if you want to go watch it with the slides and see some funny old photos of me and Ryan and also explore Snoop Dogg's future, you know, world in one of the metaverses. Then, you know, you want to go hop over to YouTube and watch all that fun unfold.
Yep.
So, okay, that's it. With that, enjoy this week's episode of Homebuilder Happy Hour.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming to Gate Community's Lunch and Learn and talking about the metaverse, which, you know, to me is a very interesting topic. And I'm going to start off with, you know, talking about a little bit of history of why it's so interesting to me. And the first thing to really discuss on that is, I mean, I think a lot of you know, Kelly and I started this business, but I'm an entrepreneur, you know, and I'm a finance guy. So I like to always be looking at the things that are coming, you know, and looking for opportunities, you know, and the best opportunities to me are the ones that, you know, that we can see them coming, but also that I can relate to things that we already know, you know, or that we have a core competency on. So in that, that's one of the things that, you know, I really see, a lot of stuff coming with, you know, this metaverse that you've been hearing about and talking about. So in starting with, you know, basically my little bit of history lesson, you know, I'm relating this to Kelly and myself. You know, or don't know, or, you know, we don't want to say or whatever, but, you know, Kelly and myself are in our 40s. One of us older than the other, but in our 40s. And to me, that is not old. That's not, you know, we're still young in terms of what we've seen and what we have looking forward ahead of us, you know, the time that we're going to be in business. But on the other end of it, we've spent a lot of time in business as well. Talking about, you know, how quickly things are going to change, in terms of us talking about the metaverse. I want you guys to get a little bit of understanding of how things have changed for Kelly and I, growing up, and, from even when we started in business. So just a reminder, when I think about it, and you may have heard these things from, well, some of you may have those stories, some of them have heard the stories, but, it's that generational thing of, I used to have to walk to school in the snow and, and the things that we had to do, you guys have it so easy and, that type of stuff. Kelly and I have known what our stories are to our next generation, but really our stories, even in counter to you guys, I mean, there's like this generational gap that goes on between, people that are in their 40s and people that are in their late 20s, early 30s. Some of you that are in your early 20s, like the generational gap between us is huge. The things that you guys have never seen or were never a part of, in the changes of technology. So just to reiterate that, in my years, I saw the invention of the VHS tape. When I was a kid, there was no recordings of TV shows. Like, if you wanted, we watched VHS come out, and there was the battle between VHS and Betamax. Don't know if you even know what Betamax is, but that was the competition of, who was going to get this new platform of being able to record television or record videos so that we could play them back on, a box on our TV at home, which only had 13 channels. And then after that, we saw, that move from VHS to DVD. We saw the invention of the Blu-ray and finally really turn into streaming, from there, the change of streaming came in from, standard definition, high definition, 4K, all of these things have happened, during our, lifetime. On the other end of it is cassette tapes. Kelly and I grew up with cassette tapes. CDs really didn't come out until, for me, high school, I think, probably college for Kelly. Switching over to CDs. And then, not until the 2000s did even the iPod come out. The iPod is only 20 years old or 21 years old now. And if you guys even, some of you, were just being born, or some of you were only a couple years old when that happened. But you may not, remember or I know you don't remember, but us having to, take a cassette tape, listen to the radio for our song to come on so that we could then hit record and catch that song so that we could listen to that song again later that day. And that was our only way of, having access to songs that we liked. And we only could find songs that we newly liked by whatever was played on the radio, or taking a guess, going down to, I can't even remember some of the old cassette tape. Sam Goody's and
Tower Records.
Tower Records, where we would go, and it's like the new album came out.
So Warehouse Music. That was my favorite.
Warehouse Music. We had to go buy a cassette tape, and just hope that all the songs were good because we're buying a whole album. Then finally, you got the satellite radio, and then you get streaming and the access and everything that comes onto that. From that same standpoint, the internet, you were talking about, the consumer internet as we know it started really with AOL, which was in 1995, a year before I graduated from high school. So I did not have an internet, during high school. The early adoption of that even happened through those years. So you didn't see 50% adoption of the internet didn't happen until 2001. I had already graduated college, at that time. These are, things that we watched all of this stuff happen. The idea, in that time, for Kelly and I, that, some of the stuff that's happening right now, and not talking about the metaverse, I'm just talking about, this, us being on a Zoom call right now, is mind-boggling, if you asked me 20 years ago. This Zoom call really is mind-boggling if you asked us 4 years ago, before, the pandemic and things that really forced us into having these Zoom calls. You know, this was something you only saw in boardrooms, you know, of people going into conference rooms, and maybe they were a company that had, you know, one of those big TVs in the conference room with the one camera over it that presented your conference room to the other conference room. That was not that long ago, you know, and where we come now for this is, pretty crazy. So, to jump in and further keep going on that point, let me share my screen. Okay, can you guys still hear me? Give me a thumbs up. I can see some of you. Okay, good. So for this reference, this is me graduating with my master's in 2004. I'm a couple months away from marrying Lisa. Kelly and Chris are already married. And this is now, like I said, so this is 2004. So this is 17 years ago and change. So again, like we talked about, this was taken on at this time, which would have been maybe a digital camera, you know, which didn't really exist, a few years before that. But at this time, the iPhone still has not even been invented. And like I said, this is, 17 years ago. We have no clue at this point that we're going to be able to hold a device in our phone with a touchscreen that's going to, be able to do what it does now, especially, even watching videos, and all of that. This is 7 years before Kelly and I, came together for Get Community, and started bringing, that together. When we talk about, because I'm going to talk about adapting to new devices and new technology, let me jump in and just show, real quick, when we talk about the invention of the mobile phone, at that time, Kelly and I were using a phone that was probably similar to this. There's no alphanumeric, or there's no, full keyboard, there's numbers. When we wanted to text people, you had to, push. If you wanted an A, you pushed 2 once. If you wanted a B, you had to push it twice. If you wanted a C, you had to push it 3 times. And there's a whole generation of people, and it was only, for this time until the iPhone came out, or Blackberries, which I also used, that they adapted to a whole new process of being, because they wanted to text. Text was the way to go. You wanted to be able to text. So you learned how to turn this into a full keyboard, as fast as you could, and learned. I mean, there was literally competitions for, being able to, type full sentences as fast as you can through this. Now I'm going to relate that back in a little bit to, some of the new technology coming out and how it's going to be getting adopted. But beyond that, we also, we went from Blackberries. Like I said, I had a pager, I used a pager for a number of years, but that again was a whole nother generation. In talking about that, I want to jump into again how quickly things have changed through these years. So this is where that picture was, 2004, of me graduating, for my master's. So again, this was that second term. But in 2004, Facebook had 500,000 users. It was barely a blip on the scale of what was going on. People were not using it. Friendster was, and I never really used Friendster, but that was the big one. At that time, MySpace was really just getting popular, and was, becoming, I don't need that music, but this is going through those years. I'm going to speed through some of this, but you can see, the transitions of, what's happening. So that's 2005. I'm going to jump to, let's go to 2007. And here again, MySpace is really hitting its popularity. Reddit's up there. Facebook is still, only at, 30 million or just under 30 million users. If we say we started our company Get Community in 2011, I believe. So we jumped to 2011. This is August, so this is into the year we were actually back in here. Let's get January. There's 600 million users of Facebook at this time. And we built this company based on the fact that we thought social media was the place to be, with 600 million people logging into Facebook or creating a Facebook account. That was enough for Kelly and I to say, we are building a business around this. This is where everything is going. And this is where we think we need to be to plan for the future. Going on from there, you can see, where's Pinterest? Here's Twitter, down here. Of course, there's no TikTok at this time. Where's Instagram? Instagram's not there yet. The development of those, still happened during the life cycle of this business. Kat's been with us the whole time. She's watched, here's Instagram coming in late 2011, finally starting to grow. And then at some point, as these continue to grow, ones that came and went, Vine, LinkedIn is, holding its ground, making its own, segment. Snapchat, is finally coming in. This is 2016. Jumping forward again, now we see Pinterest in here. Instagram's moved way up. Facebook is ruling the world. YouTube is not in this, but YouTube is up there battling with Facebook. But in this specific one, they're not showing that as a social network. But this only goes through 2020. Did we see TikTok? How quickly TikTok has moved and made it up its ground. But let's see. So 2020, sorry, let's get rid of this guy. Where was it? TikTok. The speed of TikTok in the last couple of years. So 700-800 million, they're hitting their user numbers very, very quickly. The growth rate of them, I do believe that they will be competing. I think they were the only ones next to maybe YouTube and Facebook to reach 3 billion downloads recently. And this is just to give a discussion of how quickly the technology is changing, and how quickly these things are happening, and they're happening in, our timelines. And this is all, like I said, what's happened within the 10, 11 years of Git Community being in business, and how the landscape has changed. So I'm going to jump over and show, I'm going to dive in real quick to, a couple of the, the metaverses. So here, this is what's currently going on with Decentraland. I'm literally in their little metaverse. They've got the Australian Open going on right now, so I can walk around, their village. There are literally, I think there's areas with TVs set up. I don't think that anything is going on right now. I don't know if they're not playing right now, but there's TVs set up. There's a whole, world just for this open that's literally, going to pass in a couple of weeks, this is not, something that is ongoing. So, maybe this land comes back every year or whatever, how often the open is. But this land, this metaverse, has very, very few people that actually participate. This is one of the smaller ones, but it is also getting a lot of, the talk, in terms of, is it going to become one of the bigger, metaverses? Showing, let's see, I can show, we can jump around, to different areas. Actually, I wanted to see, there's like, we may talk about this, but, we're going to go a little more in depth into what some of this is in a minute, but I just wanted you guys to get a quick view of some of these things. Decentraland is becoming more popular because they have some interactive games, including, casinos. So there are casinos where you can play for real money in this land. And this is one of the lands where there are actually people that have jobs and you're working in this environment. where in some of the casinos you will see greeters, you know, where you walk up to them and you can talk to them and they'll tell you about the casino. They'll, you know, teach you about the games, or, and it doesn't just have to be a casino, but, you know, there's like the Australian Open. If I jumped back in over there during tournaments, they may have greeters there that are there to tell you how to, you know, what you can do around the area. And these people are paid, you know, a salary just to go in and, you know, be there and help people out in the land. So one of the things, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit later is I wanted you to see, you know, the current status of this avatar. So, you know, this is a more, like I said, kind of that middle ground cartoonish avatar, you know, versus now I'm going to jump into, this one is called, Oh, Spatial. This is Spatial.io. I'm on mute because this one literally is connected to voice. So anyone else in this room is on my audio and can hear my microphone if I have it turned on. I'm turned off right now. But when you think about what we'll talk about is like corporate meetings, or instead of being on a Zoom call, being in a space like this. Now, this avatar is... Well, it won't turn around, but it, you know, it's more of a, you know, a floating avatar. And if I turned around, you can have your own picture, you know, what's the term that they use, but, you know, put onto the face. So, you know, the same, the deep fake, if you've seen the deep fakes in, you know, TikTok and different areas where you can have, you know, a more realistic likeness of you put on the face, in this area. But again, you know, these are areas that are mainly built, you know, for Spatial is built by the developer of Spatial. When I was showing Decentraland, and we'll talk about being decentralized, but these spaces are built by the owner of this land. So Atari, you know, bought this area and they built and created this, you know, their whole space here, not the owners of Decentraland. Jump out of there. So the next thing, or the next one I'm going to show you, and actually, so this is the one you hear about probably the most often right now. And this is the Sandbox. So the Sandbox, and, you know, the biggest, you know, news I hear is when you hear people that are saying, you know, oh, someone just bought land in the metaverse for $2.4 million. Snoop Dogg bought land, you know, in this metaverse, you know, and you're hearing the bigger brand names and the things going on. It's usually happening in the Sandbox. And this is a map, like I said, of their, of the Sandbox and the land. And like I said, this is all being sold, and people buying up areas, you know, so here's Atari's space here. I can't remember where Snoop Dogg is, but he's got a whole area. And then as you buy this land, you know, just like when we talk about, you know, you think about for real estate, you know, if there's an area that's very popular, or there's, you know, we talk about, okay, maybe it's, you know, it's got a beach view, or when we talk about a, I keep wanting to say metaverse. I can't even remember the name of master plan. That's the word I'm looking for. When we're building a master plan neighborhood, or we have a client that's building a master plan neighborhood, there's going to be certain areas within that master plan that are going to sell for more than others, just based on proximity to amenities, whether they have a view, you know, and different things, whether how close it is to, you know, the new town center, is there going to be a town center? And those things drive the different prices of land. That same thing is happening here, because you have, one, you know, you have big brands going in. So, you know, like I said, I can't remember how much Snoop Dogg bought his land for, but he's building a huge area with a mansion, a place for concerts, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And someone realized there's going to be a lot of traffic to that area, so they bought the land next to him for $460,000, you know, to get this little, you know, blip of land, you know, in this area. And, you know, just to show off that, I'm going to show a quick video here. So this is Snoop Dogg's, and it's, you know, I mean, this is, you know, my team, but it is Snoop Dogg. So, you know, there's some language and all the other fun stuff for him in here. But this is him promoting, you know, what's going to be going on in, you know, in his section of the sandbox. So this is, we'll talk a little bit about this, but his NFT avatar collection, I'm not going to really go in deep to NFTs, but really these are individual things that only are going to come out once, and they're like collector items, you know, that people can buy, you know, and you have a, you know, you're able to use it or act like your Snoop Dogg, you know, in his area. Snoop D-O-Dub. NFT. Never forget to pass. The big thing, and this is something that comes along with Decentraland, the sandbox, is these stores where you can now, you know, buy and sell merchandise. And again, I'm going to relate this back to homes in a little bit. But, you know, for us, you know, imagining, you know, that you can sell homes, you know, people are building things, you're buying land, you know, there are things to build. You want that Coliseum, like he's having someone right now, they're paying someone. I'm sure it's not him going in there and, you know, building everything, but they're paying someone to go in and build that auditorium, to build his mansion, to build, you know, the different cars and the different, you know, things that you can have, you know, that's all being, you know, built by another company. Quickest way to get your ass kicked. Oh yeah, this is another classic.
Now right on, right on. So will he like put on a live concert in his land?
Yeah. So in talking about that, so that he'll be putting on live concerts, he's going to put on concerts where, you know, like I said, you can go and watch his concert there. Whereas, we talked about it in Decentraland, but there may be, you know, a live screen. So it's not going to be animated, you know, like you see it here, where you're actually seeing him, you know, performing in a concert. You can go hang out in his mansion. You know, he may show up in his, in his metaverse at some point, you know, say it's after his concert. But this is, you know, really all of that marketing stuff. And I can, you know, tell you that the people at Sandbox are using this as a marketing tool. I'm sure they're paying him, you know, and it's a joint, you know, a joint venture between the two of them, saying, hey, this is going to bring users to our land. It's going to increase the value of our land. And we're going to help you develop, you know, a really great experience so that we can bring more people, because there is a big race right now for which metaverse, you know, is going to, you know, be the one that really wins out. Again, I want to, you know, bring you back to, you know, talking about this, you know, this same chart is at the infancy, you know, of the metaverses right now. We're back here, you know, where everyone's kind of equal, and no one knows who's going to, you know, win out, but somebody is. Whereas right now, you know, Facebook, you know, seems like, you know, hey, they have the most, you know, they have the most money, they have a huge user base, but this is a new space to them. And if you ask me, they're going to have trouble converting users into their space, versus the next big one that I would talk about that you'll hear a lot of people talk about. And I miss Jenna not being here, because it's Roblox. Roblox is, you know, I would assume most of you have heard of it, but is a metaverse. You know, parents think of it as, you know, a kid's game. But what's happening in Roblox right now is that it's a full community, and something that Facebook hasn't adopted. But as us all being part of, you know, a social media company that manages social media, we're all very aware of YouTube, and TikTok. YouTube and TikTok have done something that is very similar to what I'm going to now refer to as decentralized metaverses are trying to do, where they pay directly their content creators. So they share their revenues with them for the traffic that they bring to their platforms. So if you are a big YouTube, star, or you're a big TikTok star, you are getting shared revenues from those platforms. If you're on Facebook and you're driving a ton of traffic to Facebook, and Facebook is generating ad revenue from that, are you getting any piece of that from Facebook? No, you're not. Instagram, are you getting a piece of, the ad revenue or the revenue going into Instagram? No, you're not. You look at the easiest one to talk about is the Kardashians and the Jenners, that they've learned how to monetize the traffic that comes to them, but they do that monetization on their own end. With these decentralized platforms, and Roblox is a big one that people don't even think about. The content that's created on Roblox is not from the people at Roblox. They pay us. They pay the people that are in their environment to go ahead and build their own things. You've got kids building games in Roblox that then other people, come and play. And if you get a lot of traffic to your game and people, can pay to play your game. That's why, us as parents, our kids are always asking, hey, can I get a gift card for Roblox? Hey, can I get a gift card for, all these different games? When we talk about, the other implications of Fortnite and, I'm sure Call of Duty, probably has it, ones that, maybe more, adult generated, where, you have, the older generations actually playing these games, that they're still spending a ton of money, in these universes, and it goes directly to, those companies, Roblox, TikTok, Decentraland, Sandbox, all of these avenues. You create stuff and you get to bring the revenue back to you. So if I go, Snoop, creates this auditorium, he can put, an entry fee to get into the auditorium for his concert, where everyone's got to pay a little bit to get in that wants to see it. And that money goes to him, not to the Sandbox. And that's the same thing where you're seeing the growth where, okay, all these people are buying this land because they're hoping people are going to be, near their land, and they can build games, they can build art galleries, they can build whatever, and they can charge entry or they can charge to play a game. And, it's just, a new ecosystem for commerce, really. So that's when I talk about that, that these lands are decentralized versus what Facebook is working on building, and which we're going to talk about next here. Facebook owns, their platform. They may be looking for help with other developers, but they're still trying to, maintain their ownership. So I'm going to show some of Mark Zuckerberg's last conference when he, talked about the development of what they're doing. And the one thing I want you to notice is, how they're working on, not just these layouts and these plans, but they're working on the equipment needed to, promote these lands, as well as how much further along they are on the graphic elements of how their lands look compared to some of these other ones that I showed you. The one that they're working on right now and is available through their VR sets, at least in beta form, is called Horizon. So he's going to talk about it here a little bit, and I'll jump in.
Horizon is the social platform that we're building for people to create and interact in the metaverse. One part of this is Horizon Home, which is our early vision for a home space in the metaverse. Horizon Home is the first thing that you'll see when you put on your Quest headset. Today, there are already a bunch of options to choose from, and in the future, anyone will be able to create one. We've just called it home until now because it's been missing something very important: people. Soon, we're going to be introducing a social version of Home, where you can invite your friends to join you as avatars. You'll be able to hang out, watch videos together, and jump into apps together. Then, there is Horizon Worlds, which is where you can build worlds and jump into them with people. Horizon is designed to make it possible for everyone to create, and we're already seeing people build some really interesting experiences, from creating new games together to throwing surprise parties in VR that family and friends around the world can join. We started rolling out Horizon Worlds in beta last year, and we're adding more people and more worlds every day. And we also just launched Horizon Workrooms earlier this year for collaboration. Beyond Horizon,
so I think I'm going to show the workrooms in a little bit, but this is also one of those ones where, you know, workrooms and spatial that I showed you a little bit earlier is actually you know, working on those workrooms where, you know, it's really looking at a method to replace Zooms to make it more personable, you know, where you can see the people around you, you know, whether it's with, VR, you know, just through your regular computer or an augmented reality experience. So I think he talks a little bit more about it. Let me jump. And actually before I jump through that too, I wanted to talk about, he talked about Home. And this is one of the areas where I wanted to relate it back to what we do. And this is going to come up again a little bit later, but imagining that Google Home, or not Google Home, that Horizon Home that he's working on, isn't just some random space, but it's your actual home. So in terms of how we start, and in my mind, we look at it and saying, okay, well, can I get our builders to start, scanning their homes? And when someone purchases their home, they get an NFT that has their home ready to go so that, when they start using this platform, that their home is their actual home. And they can invite people, that actually would show up and it would look like you're in your own home. I just want to throw that out there because we're going to see some more things that how that develops in a little bit.
But enough with the fun and games. It's time for everyone's favorite, work. Over the last year and a half, a lot of us who work in offices have gone remote. And while I miss seeing the people I work with, I think remote work is here to stay for a lot of people. So we're gonna need better tools to work together. Let's take a look at what working in the metaverse will be like. Imagine if you could be at the office without the commute. You would still have that sense of presence, shared physical space, those chance interactions that make your day all accessible from anywhere. Now imagine that you have your perfect work setup and you can actually do more than you could in your regular work setup. And on top of all that, you can keep wearing your favorite sweatpants.
Looking good. Let's get together real quick for a debrief.
I'm free now. Let's jump in. Hi.
Hey.
So what do we think?
I think it's ready.
Great.
I'll prep it for the presentation.
All right. Good luck.
Imagine a space where you can tune out distractions and focus on the task at hand. And when you're ready to share what you've been working on, you can present it as if you're right there with the team.
Wait, where's Mark?
I think he's in the middle of something.
You can already see some of these elements in Horizon Workroom.
Okay, so again, that experience that he was showing is his augmented reality. That type of augmented reality, these workspaces, is all part of what would be, the metaverse and these options. Because all of these things would then be, brought into that world where you're really being able to jump around from one to the other. I mentioned the glasses because those are, I think everyone was wearing Ray-Bans. And I'll show you in a little bit. That's their goal, is to have glasses of that style that are the augmented glasses, the augmented reality glasses. I think we maybe get to talk about that here in a second. So here we're going to, they're going to talk a little bit about avatars and the realism they're using, working on to, you know, create those more realistic avatars.
Going into Cambria. For example, your avatar will be able to make natural eye contact and reflect your face.
And this is showing, this is already developed. So they already have, they have a new VR headset coming out. That's their high-end VR headset. But this is a full immersive experience. But it's able to pull in your full, you know, reaction. So as you move and as you're wearing the headset, the eyes move to where you're looking and the facial expressions are reacted on your avatar.
Facial expressions in real time. This way, people you're interacting with will have a real sense of how you're actually feeling. It does mean building more sensors into a form factor that's comfortable to wear for a while. And because we want VR to be for everyone, we also have to make sure avatars represent a diverse set of human facial features and.
Now, beyond virtual reality, we are also focused on the hardware to make true augmented reality possible. In a lot of ways, augmented reality is even harder, not just because we need to invent a completely new optical stack that's not based on screens, but because we basically need to fit a supercomputer into a pair of normal-looking glasses. So we're approaching this problem from two directions. First, how much technology can we pack into a pair of normal, great-looking glasses today? And second, how do we take the long-term tech stack to do everything and keep miniaturizing and improving it until it fits into a pair of normal, good-looking glasses? On the first path, last month we launched Ray-Ban Stories, our first smart glasses in partnership with EssilorLuxottica. They're not full AR glasses yet, but they let you take pictures and videos, listen to music, and take phone calls while you're out looking at the world instead of down at your phone. And we built leading privacy features into the glasses, like the LED light whenever you're recording, which phones don't even have. And we delivered this in the iconic Ray-Ban style for just $299. These are all steps.
So I mentioned that again as, or I show that because of early adoption, that, you know, one of the big things that has hindered people from, you know, going into VR is that they don't want to hold those, you know, or they don't want to wear that big VR headset over their head. They want to still be participating in what's going on in, you know, their actual environment. So this is, you know, what Facebook is working towards at resolving that issue of giving people something that doesn't stick out, you know, and that you can participate in the metaverse in an augmented reality, you know, by having something that may be stylish mixed with a big brand name, you know, that delivers these, you know, these features. And again, this is where, you know, we may look at it and say, hey, you know, that looks great, but, you know, when's that going to come out? And that's where I, you know, jump back and say, hey, you know, 14 years ago, you know, the iPhone didn't exist. You know, it wasn't even a dream, you know, that people are having. They didn't even think that we could do this. This is something that they're working on that is, you know, not that far away. It's more just about trying to put all of the pieces, which most of it they have worked out, into something that everyone would adopt. You know, at a good price range. Jumping back to, I'll show you the avatars again.
Shave their beards, dress up, now, style their hair, put on makeup, or get tattoos. And
this is in comparison to, remember the avatars that I showed you from, you know, from, well, we didn't show Roblox, but Decentraland, The Sandbox, Spatial, even what you were seeing earlier from them. They're also working on, and these are avatars that exist. It just takes, you know, a lot more power, you know, so it hasn't been commercially available for them yet, but it is what they're going towards.
Of course, you'll be able to do all of that and more in the metaverse.
So this next video shows how we're making progress on part of that with hair and skin rendering and relighting for 3D avatars.
She's going for some medical field. I think she was interested in to.
Now, I want to point out this technology is still very definitely research, but it shows the really high level of fidelity that avatars are ultimately going to need to reach. Notice that you can see the individual pores on his skin. Now, clothing is another important way to express yourself, and whether you want to.
I'm going to jump into that. So, you know, they're working on things that are to bring, you know, this metaverse to a much more realistic perspective. And there's, you know, a number of thoughts in terms of, you know, whether people want to go that direction or whether they, you know, like to go, you know, with something that's more, you know, like the box form in the block form that you saw, you know, previously. And now, again, just a leap in technology discussion of what's going to make, you know, this metaverse, you know, more comfortable to be in, or, you know, those things that will advance, you know, us from one area of social media to the next. But this is their, I can't remember what it's about. It's their wrist movement technology that they're working to build into a bracelet.
This is genuinely unprecedented technology. So let's look at an early prototype that shows how it could be used in AR.
This experimental UI shows for the first time how EMG input could one day allow you to send a message in AR with your hand resting comfortably at your side without ever having to look at a screen. Notice how the researcher used an overt and highly visible click gesture to send the first message. We've made a lot of progress over the last year, and we're now able to do the same thing with the smallest of movements of the hand. EMG enables this by picking up subtle neuromotor commands with remarkable precision.
So basically what you're saying is that you're going to be able to send a text.
So just showing that is, like I said, I'm bringing it back to when, you know, we had to determine what, you know, when we had, you know, to type in messages on our old phones before they had keyboards. With this technology, what they're looking at is really trying to eliminate the need for a handheld cell phone. They're looking at saying, hey, I'm going to take you away from the cell phone and I'm going to put you into an augmented reality glasses where you can see your calls and you can text and type messages, you know, just with, you know, certain hand movements or gestures. And, you know, they're really, you know, trying to leapfrog out of the cell phone area. So again, just me showing that for a second of the different technology they're trying to put forward. And then the last thing I'm going to show you here, which really comes into homes and us talking about, okay, you know, how do we bring builders into the metaverse?
Ming-Fei is wearing in this next demo.
And the reason is to simulate how AR glasses will ultimately be able to access data from a 3D map that will help them identify the real world objects in the space around you and better understand your context so they can help you.
What's happening here is that the glasses are calculating where Ming-Fei is in the room, locating and identifying all the nearby objects based on the index mentioned earlier, and figuring out which of those objects Ming-Fei is interested in by observing her eye movements. That contextual information, in turn, enables the system to offer proactive assistance to Ming-Fei in a variety of ways. Here, the system knows that she may want to turn on the TV, so when she clicks while looking at it, the system turns it on. Ultimately, her AR glasses will tell her what her available actions are at any time.
Hey, assistant, where's my favorite mug?
We're also working on a voice interface that will let you locate any object. Here, the system is displaying the current location of the mug. In the future, it might tell her where it is using speech or text, or it might highlight the location in her glasses.
Really, it's an early look at the sort of intuitive, low-friction interface.
So just in showing that, again, you know, from a builder perspective, what we're talking about is the ability to scan homes and have those homes, one, integrated, you know, into, you know, what could be a metaverse platform, and have those homes be, you know, like we talk about connected homes right now, but if your home is connected with your augmented glasses, where as you walk around and, you know, you may have a wrist, you know, or one of those like bracelets, you know, where you can just click and your TV turns on, or, you know, you have the ability to turn your, you know, oven off, you know, or on, you know, based on, you know, from sitting on your couch or watching TV, the interaction of, of being able to do those things and getting builders to have some type of early adoption of those things. These are those kind of small elements that you say, okay, the users may start using these things and they're going to naturally become affluent in moving throughout the metaverses without having to, go on it or put on a VR headset, or go onto their computer, or use their phone. They're trying to make this situation more seamless. So there's so much more in terms of, where we could go and talk about this. If you haven't watched Zuckerberg's announcement, it's like an hour and 10 minutes. There's so much more that he talks about in there of what they're developing. For us and for me, what I see is, 300 million users on Roblox, or 215 million users on Roblox. They have 48 million, daily active users, which is, a huge amount. They have that huge jump start. They could be the MySpace, of that area, where someone else is going to come in and, and overtake them with better, features. But right now they're the kind of gorilla in that marketplace. Plus those users are those young users. So, I know I've only heard, Kat, you really talk about your fiance, going into gaming, being a gamer, that he still goes on and, plays games. That, I don't know who else, if any, anyone else is really a gamer like that, but that mentality came from a younger age, where that became natural. That was the environment that they played games in, and they carried that through to, adulthood. And that's what's happening with Roblox. So you've got, 48 million kids daily, and those kids are getting older and older, daily in a metaverse, in that environment, and in 10 years, those kids are going to be 25, years old. The Roblox has been around for, I don't have the initial date, but it's, at least I believe 10 years. Those initial users, are going to be, in their mid 20s, maybe going to their 30s. There's not going to be any, any jump for them to say, hey, yeah, like I'm done with, Roblox because it was, kind of the kid game and I played it when I was a kid in those games. But now, the sandbox, like that's where my, my favorite artists are and they're having concerts and they're, doing this other stuff. It's that environment looks just like the Roblox environment, except for it's a separation between, the young community and, a new generation of interests and, and things. And how is that going to, continue to develop? For us, that's what, like I said, for Git Community, that's what, in my mind, I'm trying to figure out, how do we get, to be those early adopters? How do we get our clients to be those early adopters? 11 years ago, we were fighting builders to join Facebook and promote on Facebook. They didn't think it was something that was going to last. They didn't think it was going to be, anything for advertising, that they were going to get home sales, or, having to be showing their product. And in my view, if you look out to the next 10 years, I think there's implementations of what this metaverse is going to be. That's going to be that same thing. The adoption of that, we're really going to see, I think, in the next couple of years. And as people continue to develop the tools to get people to join it, it's just going to continue to grow. So that's my quick 1 hour. I did go an hour rundown of the metaverse.
Good job, Ryan. That was so good. I learned so many things. Thank you.
And again, there's so much more. It just goes, there's so many things I didn't get to get into, but hopefully it's just to kind of spark some type of interest and you know, maybe seek out some information on your own.
Yeah. And I mean, you should all know that we already have one client who's interested in being an early adopter, even with us. And we have a call set up with him next month, the CEO of, you know, a builder who is like raised his hand. I will be an early adopter. I have no idea, but please, like, let me be your guinea pig. I want to learn more. So I think it's a reality, you know, for our business and something we all just kind of need to be like curious about. You know?
Yep. Yeah. So thank you, everybody. Sorry to hang up right away, but I've got to go run and go pick up my daughter now from school. So.
Right. Save your Q&As for Monday morning's call.
Yep.
Yeah.
So. Think about that one over the weekend. Thanks, Ryan.
No problem.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Have a good one, everybody.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Homebuilder Happy Hour. Make sure to follow us on all our social media pages to stay updated on what's happening at Get Community. You can find all of our social media handles in our show notes for this episode. We'll see you next time, and remember to make every hour in life your happiest hour.